He also tried to expand education and culture in his country by establishing 4 new universities, and the most important of which was in St. Petersburg, where he took Peter the Great's smaller school connected to the Academy of Sciences and really transformed it into a modern Western-style university, much more like Moscow University had been. He also established schools throughout the country, including for peasants, and he gave to both teachers in local schools as well as to the universities even more autonomy than they ever had before. However, there's something else going on that's important to think about in understanding Alexander. On the one hand, there is a lot of talk, as we've seen, about constitutional reform. He established various committees to study the matter. He even corresponded with people like Thomas Jefferson about models for a Russian constitution, figuring Jefferson would have useful advice based on his American experience, also seen in some ways as comparable in terms of a monarchical society creating a more democratic one, but with a strong state. And during the war with Napoleon, he constantly talked about this war as freeing Europe from tyranny, bringing greater constitutional freedom to Europe. And yet, nothing was ever done about a constitution, about ending serfdom, other than talk. He just talked all the way to the end of his reign about it. And there's a lot of explanations for why he never acted, why he never realized the promises he seemed to begin with. One of them was his distraction, as it was said, with international affairs, especially the ongoing conflict with Napoleonic France, first from 1805 to 1807, and then after a period of peace, again with Napoleon's invasion of Russia from 1812 to 1814. This was a war that included terrible setbacks, most famously the burning of Moscow itself in 1812, occupied by Napoleonic troops and indeed by Napoleon. But it also included great victories. Most notably, at the end of all of this, Russian troops marching all the way across Europe into Paris itself in 1814, again making clear to the world that Russia was truly a European great power. But other reasons may explain his failure to act. Political unrest in Europe seemed to frighten him. In particular, in 1820, a number of liberal revolutions broke out in places like Greece and Spain, making him feel that liberal ideas could unleash a type of disorder that was dangerous. The influence of the conservative Austrian foreign minister, Prince von Metternich, was also seen as helping to convince him of the dangers of liberalism. He also, it is said, may have been unwilling to alienate the nobility, hence his fear of ending serfdom. He needed this class still. They were the ruling class of Russia. Another explanation was his growing personal mysticism, which I'll talk more about. His sense that there was a better world, but it would only exist not on Earth. There have also been less charitable arguments about his failure to act. Some have said it's simply duplicity. He wanted to please people, especially people in the upper classes. So he pretended to be more liberal, or even vanity. He wanted to be admired as a wise and enlightened man. Some said just like his grandmother, who never really believed these things. It's also significant that Alexander did more than just fail to produce a constitution. He also vigorously opposed proposals, mainly coming from the nobility, to give real legislative power to the Senate. He silenced, in fact, proponents of just this proposal, a group known as the Senatorial Party, or that's what they were later called, who believed the Senate should be a true legislative body. And in fact, not only did he reject this, but as many historians have noted, he had, as one put it, an almost pathological suspicion of anyone who might try to limit autocratic power. Now, how does one reconcile these two sides of his policies? To do so, I think one has to look more closely at his ideas about power. First, there's good reason to see his enlightened talk as serious and sincere. Everything we know about him suggests that he took the lessons of the Enlightenment deeply to heart. It pervaded his education, which was, by the way, personally overseen by Catherine the Great herself, who distrusted what Paul might do in educating young Alexander. Catherine personally met with him and laid out the principles for an ideal ruler. High virtue, in particular, the Stoic principles of reserve and self-control. She argued and taught Alexander that only when people control their animal instincts, would rulers be able to be guided by the voice of reason, hence be superior to common people, hence have the right to rule.